So we pray, gracious Heavenly Father, we're here in your presence tonight, Lord, to know your word, to understand what your word says in dealing with problems, Lord, that often face the church. We think, Lord, of the time that I had a problem trying to solve it for Brother Branham. We were on the road, and I did solve it, Lord, by going right back to the beginning, which he said was exactly the thing to do. And tonight, Lord, we trust that we can do the same thing for anything that surfaces amongst us, or it could surface, Lord. We go right back to the Word and see it there, and then just apply it, Father, until the Word becomes effective and corrects and gives us the spiritual health and strength we have need of. So, Lord, we pray as we study your Word tonight that you'll bless it and help us to understand it, take it to heart, and know just what to do with it, Lord. And may the people be blessed, Father. May they grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the grace given to all of us. And be ready and waiting against that day, Lord, perfectly sanctified by the Word, to go to be with you in the millennium, Lord, which we know is shortly upon us. Bless everyone in divine presence, my God, with understanding, illumination, with strength, Lord, to obey you, and with spiritual health and physical health all combined. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, in these studies that we're taking on the questions that come up through some of the things that Brother Branham said recently, we've been looking at problems that arise in the church, not specifically naming problems, but looking at discipline within the church, which, of course, we believe is by the Word of God. So that's what we'll be dealing with tonight, and hopefully we just should be able to conclude tomorrow morning. Now, this is number 6, and in these studies, we have constantly emphasized that the Word of God correctly taught as to its truly revealed mechanics, and in the right dynamic spirit, is the foundation or the source for the birthing of and the maintaining of and the prospering of the local church, to the end that people might mature into adult Christians ready and waiting for the return of their Lord, and the functional ministries of the pastors and elders be blameless for the blood of any adherent, because they have not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God as they know it in part or in whole, and have never handled the word deceitfully for any other purpose than to give the sanctifying truth its rightful place in the lives of the sheep. Now, I think that's pretty easy to follow, though it's a long, long sentence. And that is that the word of the Lord is what we base every single solitary thing upon, so that everything must come out of the word of the Lord, even as it did in the beginning when God by his word created the heavens and the earth and all things that are therein and actually maintains them. So let's go over this again, and I may stop in spots to break it down for you. In these studies, we have constantly emphasized that the word of God correctly taught as to its truly revealed mechanics. In other words, you say, well, why not use the word revelation? Well, I used the word revealed, and I could have used the word meaning, which I did, then I stroked it out, because everybody isn't going to get the definitive revelation the prophet gave. Now, let's be honest. Now, these are things that you understand. I've had a terrible hard time in my life to accept them, and I have a terribly hard time to preach it, which is that no matter where we are and who we are with, Brother Branham categorically stated that the church, and there's no church that isn't, far as we know anyway, that doesn't have three kind of believers. So, but he did say that the church, which was divided by men wanting to pastor them, because some said, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul, I'm of Peter. He said, you've only got one father in the gospel. I brought you the word. It wasn't Peter, Apollos, and wasn't somebody else. I was the one that did it. You can divide yourselves, and you will. And yet he said they could have one mind. So therefore, we are dealing with mechanics. See, you might not understand the certain book that the teacher places in your hands. But by dint of perseverance, you could memorize that book and actually end up knowing no more about it than nothing. Now, just think that over. If you don't think it's the truth, you study a book of economics and then tell me how you made out. I did that on purpose because we had to teach, in the 10th grade, we had to learn a lot of these stupid laws that today aren't worth a plug nickel, never have been. They're called the laws of economics. Hogwash. So, in these studies, we have constantly emphasized that the Word of God correctly taught as to its truly revealed mechanics. That's the prophet William Branham did it by thus saith the Lord. And in the right dynamic spirit, that is, it's going to be given to us, which it certainly was in his, and we hope to ministers under him, is the foundation for the birthing, for the maintaining, and the prospering of the local church. Right. To what end? To the end that the people might be mature adults. That's Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Right? Waiting for the return of the Lord and the functioning ministries that are contained in the, usually mostly the pastors and the elders, although others are included, be blameless for the blood of any adherent or anyone in the church, be it one of, doesn't matter what it is, believer, unbeliever, meek believer. Their hands are clean. Because they have not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God as they know it, in part or in whole. I don't have to know every bit of it. Some aren't gifted that way. But what they do have is right. And what they don't have, they just wait and see what God does. Like Brother Brand said, the old washerwoman, doesn't have to be too old either. Three tapes? Really believing all those three tapes? She would make it. Like Brother Brandon said to his son, Billy Paul, and he said, Billy, you can believe this much and make it, and that much and miss it. Now, that's not speaking of inspired Holy Ghost faith. That's speaking of the mechanical end. So, therefore, the man dealing with the Word in the congregation is blameless. He's absolved from the blood of anybody. And that means that he doesn't stand there to see you through as some people think he's there to see you through or would like to make you think. That'd be a gimmick. As long as you see me, never fear. Ha! And the dinosaur come by. Or saber-toothed tiger. Now, if it was David with the shepherd's sling, we might have something to talk about. Well, that's a prophet. As long as you see him, don't fear. All right. Because he has given the sanctifying truth that will give the people the entrance into the rapture. Now, it is from this position taken, and as far as we know, taken by Paul and William Branham, that's the position we're taking with the Word, that we believe the Word of God will correct all errors and strengthen the believers to the extent that there is very little personal discipline needed, for the discipline already lies predominantly in the taught Word. And remember, the sheep hear my voice and they follow. So the discipline is predominantly in spiritual enlightenment, or as the world says today, educate. And that is the key. The word, of course, educate, is the word educo, means to lead out. Well, how much can you lead out of a reprobate? You haven't got a hope. You can lead your sheep if they're true sheep. Now, the reason we know this to be true is because we saw this in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, which by now you know exactly where we're going, verses 7 and 17. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow considering the end of their behavior, watching what's in their lives. 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. Submit yourselves to what? To the word they teach. Where are you going to get the word? From the vindicated prophet. So if this pulpit or any other pulpit tries to tell you that you follow that person and hasn't got a scripture or something from Brother Branham, you say hogwash. I just discovered you're a false pastor. You say, Brother Vail, you're kind of tough. No, because it's going to hit me up here too. The first church which had the genuine true anointing and the true prophet, a bunch of phonies came by. And they said, why, we can smell you like a hunkling burger cheese. You're false apostles. Brother Brown says, my, that was flat. They said, well, how do you know that you can make that statement? And they said, because you don't say what Paul said. Good preaching, Brother Bill. Took care of that one. I like any pastor under God's high heaven to contradict that statement. Any teacher, any evangelist, any apostle. Brother Brown categorically said, say what I say. He also told the ministers to break it down and feed it the people, which by the grace of God we attempt to do. Obey them that have the rule over you. Now there's a definite ruling, and the ruling is by feeding. Rule, feed, rule. Remember how he said the Catholics are rule, rule, rule. The Protestants, feed, feed, feed. The Bible is rule, feed, rule. So the emphasis is on the authority and the knuckling under and the obedience to, which constitute something is effectively governing the whole body. And that's the mind. Now, where do you get anything that's good for the mind? Straight by revealed word. And as I said, anybody can subscribe to it. We could have a church here, 85% unbelievers in the true revelation. And yet you could be so taught in the mechanics. You'd be tremendous people. I know you're thinking, hey, that doesn't sound like the prophet in the word when you're talking in term of bride, and that's the real lovely, wonderful people. That's true. I'm not discounting that. I'm just showing you that to literally take a word that can be understood, that can be applied, and much of which cannot be understood and applied, but followed along on the guidelines which can be. We could have a wonderful church here. Kind and loving, sympathetic. Why, we could work the hoofs off of a horse by being a bunch of mules. We could, really. Why, Brother Branham categorically said the Christian Science put us to shame with love. Talking about the kind old priest, that renegade Jesus, he made the invidious comparison. He made the proper comparison. So, we are seeing here then, this scripture, and submit yourselves to whom? To them who give you the word that is properly revealed and in the right spirit, which is to point you from them to Christ, because you already see them. And boy, do you know them. Chuckle, my ignominious, foul chuckle. Oh, yeah. You know, I know too. But how well do we know Jesus? You know, it's the word that's going to get you to know him. Now, look, let's be honest. We're hopefully dealing with real men of God. But you got to remember, there's false shepherds, there's false everything. There's false prophets, there's the false apostles, there's false evangelists, there's false everything. Well, you get a false evangelist, and he's so wonderful, and the guy is so full of love and so marvelous,
And before it's all over, you're sucked right in by him saying, hey, listen, now you know the Bible says, yes, I'm sorry. And you know the Bible says this, that all your sins are upon Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. Therefore, if your sins are upon him, they're not upon you. Right, right, right. Then you're saved. That's right. Shake my hand. Text proves salvation is of the devil. And that's what that's called. Text proves salvation. Quoting the word of God unwarrantedly and missing applying it to make anybody believe he's got it when he hasn't got it. And he's just a church member. That man's a phony evangelist. There's just all over the world, there's millions of so-called Christians right now, brother, sister. And you can hear them on the air, you can see them everywhere. And I'm not against their values, I'm not against their virtues, I'm not against any of that. I am just for the word of God, and therefore I stink in their nostrils. Would you believe a friend just phoned me tonight and told me what he heard in an airport? And he didn't even want to listen to it. But there were two men sitting, and their voices were quite well raised, and they worked for the government. Or they did. And they're discussing exactly some of the things we're in, and they got onto religion. And being of the RCs, which we know what that exactly is, they began talking. You know what their subject was? Baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one man said, I would like to kill the whole bunch of them. I'm not here to hit the Roman Catholics. You better get through and telling you how the Protestants built the beautiful home for the prostitute. I'm not going to hit that tonight. We'll get later. So you'll understand why organized religion is of the devil. And I don't care what they produce. You begin feeling sympathetic, my brother, my sister. You'll end up exactly where you belong. And you're wrong. I'm sorry for you, but you're not going to change me. I'm depending on this word of Almighty God, my brother, my sister. Now listen, they watch for your souls, not your pocketbooks, your souls. Why? If they get your souls ironed out with the word of Almighty God by the living Spirit of God, your pocketbook will do what's right and your body will do what's right. See? They must give account. That they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. Now, it doesn't say they won't be profited, the ministers, when they get there. But remember, they'll stand there as attorneys. And you'll be in a capacity, too, on the white throne. And we don't want to have a bad day there. Now, listen, we'll explain white thrones already here someday, because that's a question. Show exactly how it works from understanding. It's a faith proposition, of course. And you might as well know that right in this hour, with this message, the accounting is just as good as though it were over. See? All right. Also, you know from the book of Ephesians, where we read in the 4th chapter, and I mentioned it already, about the Holy Spirit coming down and dividing himself amongst the people and the ministries into fivefold ministry. And it's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now this is the end of it, what I mentioned. Till we all come in unity of faith, even the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now that's where we learn to speak the same mind and understand here in this church, and this is what I don't like to talk about, but there has got to be an authority of the word in the pulpit. And if the people don't have confidence in that man to know that this is exactly what he wants and is working for, it is better you go someplace else where you can be confident. And I'm not trying to get rid of anybody, I'm just making a statement. Because this is what we're looking at. See? Now watch. Unto the measure, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now what is that, what does that mean? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby the lying wait to deceive. The very thing I mentioned in here. That this pastor will not do that. And that evangelist, that apostle, that prophet, and so on. But speaking the truth in love, and holding it there, see? May grow up unto him. You're already in him. Now you've got to grow up unto him. That's what Brother Branham said. To where you come to the final place where it's headship time. then the head must come down to the body. Like the little flange on the top of the pyramid. The capstone will fit perfectly upon it. So therefore, the little ministry of Brother Branham placed right in here, in the darkness of the seventh church age, perfectly fits Christ himself to fit on the physical, because Christ the Spirit is already on the spiritual. You got to understand that, brother, sister. Jesus was not here as the foundation stone when the Gentile church was built. It was spiritual. And the same Holy Ghost that came down at the time of Paul at Pentecost, the same Holy Ghost is here right now as the spiritual capstone, bringing us the Word as he did in the beginning. And he's got a few perfect men here in the perfected men in the fivefold ministry. Now it says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. In other words, the one that started it is here finishing it by himself. In other words, once more, God is birthing himself into a being. Now, the church is birthed and maintained and brought to perfection by a word. So, therefore, the word is everything, and the sheep hear the voice and they follow. Now, that's what we're driving at. But we just see what happens as we go along now. So, however, since there are those who can only learn the hard way, and that's some sheep. They're known as hard-headed sheep. And will not cease from sinful ways. Might as well pin it right down. Sometimes discipline is handed up by Paul in 1 Corinthians 5 is necessary. We won't read it now. Read it later. That's about the gross immorality of that boy. Now, what we see then in this case of 1 Corinthians 5 is that of a man in the church, not only not abiding by the word, but refusing to recognize it and set it as the corrective standard. In other words, the church did not speak out against what that person was doing. In fact, it went so far as to not only disregard it, but they became calloused. Now, good. Our homes can be the same way, if you know what I'm talking about. You got to watch your homes. The same as this is a home church, you got to watch it. Now, this brings us to the consideration of what I spoke of to begin with. We were looking at discipline. We were looking at the authoritative word from the pulpit being corrective and what was being said to the people. Now, if the word is responsible for the birthing and the growing, what happens if the word is refused as the life element which it is? Now, in other words, the word concerning the problem, and the word is a life element. Then if it is refused, that portion of life that is in the word is missing. Now what happens? Your body begins to die. Cancer sets in. So, we are looking at the word as a life element. See, if you want life, you must have the life-giving word, because the word is the conduit of the Holy Ghost. The words that I speak unto you, said William Branham, are spirit and they are life. So therefore we hold the word of God in highest esteem. So let's look at the picture. Number one, as we look at it, to the sinner who refuses it. What about him? He's sitting there in the church and he's a sinner. He turns it down. He's lost. Now, the reason he's lost is because we read John 3, 16, 17, 18, and 19. It's not that Christ didn't die. It's not that the blood is not efficacious. It is that he refuses the light. And the light is, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is the rebirth. Now, if you're already sold on baptism, in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. How can you get a genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost when the hour has come for the revelation? If the hour is not here for the revelation, God winks at ignorance because there is a sacrifice for ignorance. That's why John the Baptist was a murderer to the whole of Israel. He was the executioner. He was the swordsman. Let me read it for you. You're getting smart. You can catch up with me already. Luke 1, concerning John the Baptist. 15th verse, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. Be filled with the Holy Ghost even from the mother's womb. God couldn't take a chance on this boy not having the Holy Ghost from his womb, from the mother's womb. How'd you like to have that? Sure. And many, now notice many, but not the whole bunch, but many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God. And John shall go before the Lord their God in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers of children, even the disobedient, to the wisdom of the just. In other words, those who are ignorant. So there was a time of ignorance, and God winked at him. But when John came on the scene, behold the Lamb of God, Israel was dead. Never mind Jesus dying upon the cross, brother, sister. Never mind that. Never mind it. They were dead already. And the blood shed and the Christ risen didn't do one thing. So, how's a sinner going to come and get baptized with the Holy Ghost when he had thus set the Lord stand on the scene and say, thus set the Lord, everyone wrong baptized must be baptized over again? Proving conclusively. You say, well, Brother Bale, I think I was baptized right. Were you baptized or sprinkled or what? The word baptism means immerse. The Word of God means what it says. You can speak in tongues all you want. You ain't got it. You haven't got it. You got anointing. I'm not speaking to many Pentecostals here, so we don't have too much trouble there. Just a couple of us came out of Pentecost. My big worry is, did Pentecost come out of you? I know it came out of me by the grace of Almighty God. Done shucked it long ago. Listen to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, beginning at verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for a judgment, and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He despised Moses' law without mercy, died unto the witnesses. A much sore punishment suppose he shall be thought worthy, who had trodden under the foot the Son of God, and counted the blood of the covenant, where he sanctified an unholy thing, and done desperate the spirit of grace. For he know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. All right, what's he telling you here? You can't turn down the word of God and the sacrifice do you any good. And yet people talk all the time, sacrifice, Jesus, hallelujah, died. And they turn right around and say, now, Mary, now how much confidence did God in Jesus? Then they want Mary to pray to Jesus. You say, that's Catholics. That's everybody that utters the Apostles' Prayer and the Creed. That's every Protestant with it. Don't blame the Catholics. The Bible says every table is full of vomit. Well, that's the Catholic tables left out in the Protestants. No, that's the Catholics left out. Well, there's Protestants in them. They're not left out either. Well, you say, how about a couple of Baptists? I'm sorry, they're all in there. You say, what about you? I was there. I ate my share of vomit. Like a dog, I enjoyed it. Remember, that's an illustration. It's a parable, but it's also the solid truth that if you're not sheep, you'll go back to your vomit and you'll like it. I remember years ago, a poor old guy, he was sitting in the Methodist church where it was so easy to sit because it was the kind of church, you know, where the preacher would preach on Sunday morning about the Democrats, especially because there were no Democrats in that town. And I said, brother, how can you go to that dead church? He said, son, let me tell you something. He said, I got so tired of going to evangelical churches and all they have is splits and fights. He said, it's so nice to just sit there and relax. The Bible mentions that, the folding of the hands. the sleeping in death. Nice old guy. Perfect picture what we're hitting at. All right, the sinner who leaves the Word of God, refuses it, he's dead. He hasn't got a prayer until he comes to the Word. Number two, to the man who goes further in rejecting it, he can end up even blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Especially if it's based upon Matthew 12, which was to the Jews. And they said, this man that does these miracles is not of God, he's of the devil. And in Matthew 12, where it's to the Gentiles, in the form of the Holy Ghost doing the same thing, it applies. So therefore, every church of Christ, everyone that's Pentecostal, every Protestant, every Catholic, who says a vindicated word and a miracle is of the devil when it's of God, has already blasphemed against the Holy Ghost and he's finished. You say, now, Brother Vail, what if it's an ignorance? If it's an ignorance, that's a different story. But you're going to find that the majority of them have already got a hardened heart by organization, and their fathers blaspheme, and their uncles, and their mothers, and their cousins, their sisters, the whole church is blaspheme, and they're part of the blasphemy. It's only when a person is in a point of indecision, and he doesn't know what it is, and he said, well, that could be the devil, I don't know. Then stick around and find out. If you make your mind God is the devil, you've been sunk. Now listen, it turns to blaspheming the Holy Ghost. In Hebrews, the 6th chapter, you don't have to blaspheme the Holy Ghost, but you can be just as totally lost. Now listen, reading begin 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, the resurrection, dead, and eternal judgment. This we'll do if God permits. So therefore, perfection is a doctrinal treatise, a revelation, which is beyond all this. In other words, it must come forth under the seventh seal, the seven thunders, which are not written in the Word, though they are there, the mysteries coming out. But God didn't permit. Now watch what happens at that time. For it's impossible for those who are once for all enlightened and taste of the heavenly gift and partake of the Holy Ghost and taste the good word of God, even the powers will come. That's exactly as they left Egypt for Palestine. That's exactly what they had. That's exactly what Pentecostals have today. Watch what happens. Having fallen away, they cannot be renewed repentance, seeing they have crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh, and put in open shame. Now watch. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whose dressed, receive blessing from God. But that which bears thorns and briars rejected, that's Matthew 7, and is nigh unto cursing with any burn, but beloved, we're persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Paul was looking down the road, and he said, there's a bride there that won't be in that mess. But she'll be in the whole midst of it. And everything going on will conspire to repudiate a little old prophet with a little old message. It's again Max 13. Beware therefore lest that which come upon you is which is spoken in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Tells you right there it's going to happen again as it happened with Jesus. Say, well, it's only a man. How many of you remember that phrase? It's only a man. He kept on saying, it's only a man. It's only a man. He said, I'm going to preach on that today. He never did. He didn't have to. Anybody would catch the point. Wow, it's only William Branham. Oh, well, it's Jesus. He was only a man. Total man, total God. All right. Number 3. To the carnal child, the wayward sheep, correction is applied by teaching. And then discipline, as we've seen in 1 Corinthians 5. Now, let's go and look at 1 Corinthians 5, because that's what we're looking at. Now, the church was not teaching what Paul taught. They were not standing for what Paul stood. Being the founder, he had every right to come back and minister. He didn't come back at this time. He wrote a letter because he couldn't get back. It's reported commonly there's fornication among you. And such fornication as not so much is named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Now, that's a pretty despicable situation. It could be one of complete incest, or it could be one where the older gentleman had a young wife and the young son was taking advantage. And you are puffed up and have not mourned that he that had done this thing might be taken away from among you. For I verily is absent in body, but present in spirit. That's like right today, Jesus Christ. Have judged already as though I were present concerning him that has done this deed. That's your white throne right there. Let us sink in. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you're gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver one, such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. In other words, the spiritual part of the man would make it, but the physical part, if necessary, would die. Clean him up and die. Your glorying is not good. Know he not a little lump? Leaven's a whole lump. All right. Now, let's go on from there. We saw the three of them. So therefore, number one, the sinner, it's all over. For the blasphemer, it's all over. John says, there is a sin that you can pray for. There is a sin there's no use you're praying for. Number three, discipline to the erring sheep who does not want his flesh in subjection. Now, he's got to be disciplined. Let's go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Now, these are pressures, what I'm going to read, brought upon us by God to train us in submission, humility, to follow him, to know what it is to be trained by him personally. But we'll read it, because it goes to the church after a bit. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that easily besets us, that's unbelief. And let us run with patience a race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, the author has been here in the form of the Holy Ghost. Now, the finisher's here. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has set down the right hand of the throne of God. Now, this is what it says. Who for the joy, that's this hour right now, that we're into, and coming more fully. This is the Lord's joy, this hour. This is what he suffered for, and he's seeing what comes for it. Now, for consider this one, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, that you be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, that tells you what's supposed to happen to you. You have not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. Jesus sweat drops of blood in his agony, fighting his own human nature, because he was totally human. And you have forgotten the exhortation that speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord. That's a training. And faint not when you're rebuked, when you fail. Don't faint, because you're going to get to have to pay a price. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son that he receives. Now, child training is this what we're talking about. Now, if you endure this chastening, this training, this tough time, God deals you with sons. For what son is he whom the father does not chasten? In other words, he has to remedy and correct him and do all these things here. But if he be without chastisement, wherever all partakers, then you're illegitimate, you're bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had correction of our flesh, we had our fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the father's spirits and live? In other words, we just got in our parents' hair most of the time when they slugged us, but God doesn't look at it that way. He doesn't slug us because of what we did. He has to chasten us because of what we are. He wants a fruit there. For verily for a few days, they for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. Now that's what the pastor's supposed to do. Get a profit out of it, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward he used the peaceful fruit of his righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Now it tells you right here, okay, that a church with a problem, and we'll talk about these things, must be exercised and must be done, and you will find people not doing the right thing. They'll take sides and they'll fuss. And you know, instead of peace coming out, anything but peace will come up. Anything but righteousness arising, when righteousness should arise. In other words, everything that the Word teaches and everything that the Word attempts to do and is done will bring a peace and a righteousness within the assembly, or it's not the Word. Our blessed God is not sheep. You got a bunch of whodunits trying to work their way into something instead of God having done it. See? Now watch. And because this is a tough one, and make straight paths for your feet. Brother, stick right with the Word of God. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Some weaker person doesn't understand these things. But let her rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now it says right here that many times the church can go into a state of corruption because the discipline has not been heeded and people begin to take sides and issues, not keeping their minds and their eyes on the Word, which is the only thing that's going to bring them through. So now, you got a bunch of preachers that won't preach the truth, and you got a bunch of people that don't want the truth. Well, bless God, let's get out of here if we have to commit suicide then. Pessimistic? No. Just trying to let you know what's going on. See? And this is a problem. And it's going to be with the church. And Brother Branham warned us, and he said, now, if Satan sends somebody in amongst you, and then shoots and pull a poison, and he begins to try to rip up the people somehow, he said, you people that are sheep, you just pull closer and closer and closer. Our brother, sister, let's understand this. I can preach till doomsday. You can sit here till doomsday. And we can preach love and everything under God's high heaven. But you cannot get rid of what the prophet said. And there will be those that come close together and those that take the poison. Now, I warn with the Word of God from the Bible and the prophet. What if that should happen to us? It's already a white throne. You'll pay a bigger price in the lake of fire than you would have before annihilation. I want you to be quiet because I'm telling you the truth. I will pay a bigger price. Don't try to kid yourselves or anybody with this word. You can sit here smug as you want, and my voice is on tape going around a lot of places in this world, and they hear my voice on these tapes, and I tell them too. Don't sit there smug as though you've got the answers and you're in some kind of a special holy place where you can deny this scripture as being applicable for this hour. You can't do it. Now, Paul said, lest any there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. The morsel of meat, my brother and sister, doesn't mean that you simply have to be hungry and you want a little mess of pottage. And you say, well, hey, what's his birthright anyway? I'm going to die. So fooey is not doing me any good. So I can't see any real good in this thing, so I'll just throw it overboard. And I'll tell you what, there, what Jacob, you can have it. Can't be too much good. There came a time when he couldn't get it back. You're going to look upon the things of God. Preachers can, people can. And there comes a day when a death sets in because the cancer set in. You couldn't get back to God if you tried. So, a person must be careful. Now look, it goes three ways. To the sinner, to the blasphemer, and to the wayward sheep. The wayward sheep will not be cast aside. He will not go to the lake of fire, but he can be taken off the scene prematurely. He can suffer desperately, as the Bible teaches us. And these things are true. So, the carnal child, he will, what about him? He will not be lost. He will not blaspheme the Holy Ghost, because in Matthew 24:24 says, the very elect shall not be deceived. That is concerning the Word. But you can be deceived concerning yourself and how far you can take yourself. See? Now, again, notice, I think I want here in Matthew 12, and 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be given unto men, but blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be given unto men. Now watch. In 33, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known of his fruit. Now that's Matthew 7, which is the Word. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Why viper? He has to call it a viper because that's what the beast turned into in the garden, into a snake. And he's the one that spoke to Eve, when he's in the form almost of man. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. There's nothing in that serpent, that beast's soul. There was no soul there, so he had no word in there. So he came right against the Word. Notice, a good man of the good treasure heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say, in every idle word that men shall speak, there shall give account in the day of judgment. For by your words you're justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. So therefore, the important thing is the Word of Almighty God. And acting upon that Word of God is then what comes next to it. And positively. All right, now, if he continually refuses correction, can he be lost and be categorized as a briar? We answered the question, no. Let's go over here again to Hebrews, the 6th chapter, which we read to you. And in there, you'll notice that Paul said the same rain can bring forth the briars. Verse 7, the earth that drinketh and the rain to come up on it bringeth forth herbs, and also brings forth thorns and briars to be rejected, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we're persuaded better things of you, and those things that accompany salvation. There is no such thing as a true person, a true believer, ever being lost under any consideration whatsoever by what he does or by what a preacher says. So the church excommunicates you. The church was going to excommunicate Galileo and was also going to kill him. But he was smart enough to say, well, I guess the world's not round after all. What pope dreamed up that one? Then he said, well, not his president, but sure is. See? No. A true believer will never ever be destroyed by God, or he'd be destroying his old plan. There's such a thing as true eternal security. But remember, this true eternal security is you being a Christian and you walk in the Word of God. Now, let me go back to understand the principle of what I'm talking about, because I'm going to talk about more things in just a minute. The principle is always to go back to the Garden of Eden, to the very book of Genesis. We refer to Eve and her fall. The original sin of Eve is seduction. The question is, did she blaspheme? No, she did not. Did she deny the Word? No, she did not. Did she say that God didn't say it? No, she admitted God said it. What was her trouble? She disobeyed a revealed command. She simply disbelieved because of Satan's seduction. She just put it to one side, and that's what happened to her. Now, she admitted God said it, but she did not set to her seal that God was true. That the revelation was exactly what God wanted to have. She doubted the correctness of the revealed Word, and by it she brought death to herself, to her husband and all future generations, and death to all creation. That's the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. You can't miss it. But Eve was not reprobated, which means she could never be saved. A reprobate cannot be saved. It's not that they blasphemed the Holy Ghost necessarily. It's just they weren't seed in the first place. They were serpent seed. She was an Adam, and will be resurrected, for the Bible says, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all are made alive. The Scripture even tells us that after her sin, she could have reached forth her hand and become immortal. So, see, you can't say that anything was going to happen other than she would die and come up in the resurrection. Thus we see the major thesis. It is foundational. Turning from the Word brought punishment, but not the second death, because she was a predestinated child. This principle is the parallelism of Scripture found in the Bible, and particularly as we read in the book of Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter, 26 to 29. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you'll not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known. Now that's the final point of degradation. As the church begins to go down, bearing spiritual children unto themselves instead of unto God, because the word is missing. They rear generation after generation of disobedient ones. They go into idolatry. It'll come to pass when the Lord thy God has brought thee into the land where thou goest visit, thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim and the curse upon Mount Ebal. So you can see here the parallels from the Scripture here. That God does not reprobate a person, a sheep, no way, shape, and form. Because a sheep never was a dog that turned into a sheep. A sheep never was a sow that turned into a sheep. There's no way. You cannot violate species. A spoken word is original seed. We were in the beginning with him, in the mind of God, in the form of a seed which God foreknew. And by foreknowledge, through predestinating power, he put us here. And that's for whom he died. And the sheep hear the voice and they follow, but once in a while, in fact, many times, as Brother Branham said, we backslide 1,000 times, and he means we shouldn't do. There are those who don't want to pay a price. Now, let's face it. Every one of us has problems concerning our flesh. Usually, it begins not necessarily with sex. It begins with lying. Lying and stealing. From there, it goes to sex. From there, it goes to fights and murder and everything else, robbing banks and God knows what. The illicit appetites, where men are bound to experiment, goes to drugs and things they shouldn't use. And that gets worse and worse and worse. So we have within our bodies, as we already studied in the 7th chapter of Romans, a very grave problem. Now listen. This principle we looked at, cursing and blessing, it only counts as a second death after turning to idolatry, as we see over here in Romans 11 chapter, verses 1 to 6. Then we'll get back to this correction we were talking about. All right. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham and the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture said of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life? But what was the answer God gave him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who are not bowed the knee to Baal. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace then it is no more grace, but no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. For if it be of works, then it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. Now, these people were not living so that you really knew they hadn't bowed to Baal and come under his influence. But God brought them there. So that every sheep that's predestinated, brother, sister, is going to get there. Don't you believe for 1 minute it's not. Because it says here, God is reserved by election 7,000, and God has got a bride today, no matter what you and I think we see. Now let's go to Acts 11 chapter, and we're going to see something there we ought to read. Just one verse. And it's 11 and 18, and hear what it says. And when they heard these things, that's the Jews heard, how the Gentiles received Christ, they glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto eternal life. Now, God does not grant repentance to anybody but his sheep. And there's two kinds. There's the wise virgin and the foolish. As in Adam all die, all are made alive. There's going to be billions come up in the second resurrection that are not bride, because there's a bride and ruling class. And remember, they are the true overcomers. Let's go now to Jude, the book of Jude. That's a little tiny book before Revelation. We're going to read the 5th and 6th verses there. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. So there they were. They came out in the great exodus, but they weren't believers. In other words, they saw the prophet, they went to the prophet, they said, hallelujah, prophet, wonderful, even made him God, no more understand this word than nothing. Don't have it. That's why I say you can be very discouraged under my kind of preaching. And under this message, if you don't know your P's and your Q's, and you better learn them, what 2 and 2 makes 4, and doesn't end up with 5. Because you are going to meet righteousness to the hilt, and you are going to meet unrighteousness to the hilt. You are going to see a repeat of all diabolical cunning. That's what the prophet said. He told me categorically. I asked him a question. It's right in the church ages. A repeat of all diabolical cunning at the end time. Which means every single thing from seduction in its finest flattering way to its grossest pressure of immorality. And structured sin. Hope you got a good picture of that, Gene, because that's the truth, and I'm standing on it. Now look any man in the eye. Because they will twist every word the way Satan twisted it for every means. Be right amongst us. Or there's no such thing as the church having 3 kind of believers. So make up your mind. I have no problem. I just preach the word. The angel which kept not their first estate, but left their habitation, own habitation, he hath reserved an everlasting change under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah in the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And it says right there, this fornication is idolatry, and the fire of God will consume it. The very one that came down here and had his picture taken, that is the kind of glory picture, reflection on the film, because the camera doesn't take psychology. Absolutely proves that one is here right now. And Brother Branham categorically said at this end time here, the fire leaves neither root nor branch. And he referred to this very hour. Because this is a destroying angel, brother, sister, as well as he's a destroying angel, the death angel. He is a great angel of God, the keeper of the covenant, and so on. Now, all right. Now, notice the problems of disobedience in the church. We're going to talk further on that, because that's what the problem is discussed tonight. It's in 1 Corinthians 11 again. 29 to 32. Notice what it says here. We're talking about the Lord's Supper. Let a man examine himself and eat of that bread and drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthy eateth and drinketh condemnation himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. It tells you right there that people will get sick. Now, sickness is not always a sign of judgment. Many times God allows the sick like Job in order to test us and try it. But many, many times the church is held back because people are partaking of the cup of the Lord in irreverent and wrong manner. Now, and as we have read that Paul had to take a very strong stand against immorality. He even had the man put out of the church. He was excommunicated. He was put out of the sanctuary of the church because the church was affording him sanctuary. So let's go back here. We read it in the 5th chapter. 1 to 13. We'll just let that go. And we'll go down below. Where he says, the 7th verse now, the living is not good. Purge out the old lump, for Christ our Passover sacrifice. Then what? But the sacrifice. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, as I'm looking at this here, I believe this is contingent with 1 Corinthians 11, wherein he warns them about partaking at the table of the Lord with the wrong, not attitude only, but disrespect by living disrespectfully unto the Lord. Now watch. I wrote unto you an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, or them, for then you must needs go out of the world. And I said, right here, you can sit and eat with anybody you want that's in the world. Got no problem. Because you're not condoning their sin. You're just ignoring it. Because it hasn't got a thing to do with you. They're not part of you. Like, I don't, look at, if somebody else's hand gets into somebody else's pocketbook, that's not your hand. Nothing to do with you. You just don't like it. That's what this is here. This is of the world. Now watch. But now I have written unto you, not to keep company. If any man that's called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one not to eat. Now Paul hit gross immorality up here. In the first few verses. First few verses. Down here, he hits this other thing. Now, that's a good question. We got Christian homes. What if our kids are living adulterous lives, fornicating and all, bring right in the house? Well, you do what you want. I'll tell you, you're wrong if you're not doing right by it. I'm not going to come in your house and say, you do this and you do that, but I'm telling you something. Here it is. You don't tolerate those things. See? You take a stand. Now, look, you know as well as I know. We all know. We all got problems. As one fellow said, there's a little bit of larceny in each of us. Or one other person said, you know, there's so much bad in the best of us, and so much good in the worst, it doesn't behoove any of us, to, you know, to call the kettle black. And, you know, we sort of like that. What am I trying to drive at? If this is habitual, the person must be dealt with. I've stood in this pulpit and I told you years ago, I left conning out of the ministry. It's a long time ago, 30 years ago or better. I've never conned anybody to my knowledge and I don't intend to. There are con artists in every church. The people get used to them. And pretty soon, it's an affable. What do you call it? Acceptation. Why do you say that person, those persons never get really bad? That's true. But if anybody dares to live on others, the Bible said if any man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. And every man better take care of his own family. And when you get a promise, you get a command like that. Brother Branham said, when God makes a command, and I'm paraphrasing, now adding my own thoughts, and I'll tell you why. He said, Matthew 5:48 says, be ye holy as your Father in heaven is perfect. Be perfect upon the memory. He said, God made a command, so therefore God has to make a way for it. And the blood of Jesus Christ scatters sin. Now, as much as we might not think that we can stand up here and face the world and make those livings. And we're obligated to. We can, or the prophet lied. Let me tell you something, brother. It's not easy to stand there and demand of yourself. But there are a lot of you have stood and demanded. But has everybody. Now, this is what we're looking at is the corrective word. And I told you, I'm not going to come down and beat anybody over the head of the club. Because there are people sitting here that are not going to listen and do anything about it. You're going to go the way you're going all these years. And you'll pray a little old dry prayer hoping something will happen. We don't have to pray about this. You have to pray because somebody is starving. The Bible doesn't say pray and say be warmed and fed. It says give him something. Unless he's a habitual moocher. Because he doesn't want to work. You know, it gets to the place when people just don't want to work. Now, he said right here. Extortion, that's what I'm looking at. with such a one knowing how to eat. A man calls another brother, he's a fornicator. He's covetous. He's an idolater. He's a railer. He's a drunkard. That is not accepted. What are you going to do about it? Well, you don't necessarily throw them out in the air. There's a word for it. And the word for it is to get down to brass tacks with God. Don't try to bend His arm, but ask God to bend our arms and make us fully amenable to what God wants out of our lives. The minute we begin to do this, there'll be some progress made. But I want you to see here what we're looking at in the church. There is a discipline. And that discipline is not something a preacher makes up. It's a discipline that the Word of God sets for it. Now, I'm hammering this because there's a purpose in what I'm doing. All right. We cannot overlook these things in the church. They must be told. Listen. Fornication is positively... What is fornication? It's a sexual act before marriage. If you're having a sexual act, for God's sake, marry the guy. And your guilt will cease. Because the Bible says so. Because now you're lawful. But these so-called meaningful relationships are a bunch of hogwash and lies. I know the world's doing it. But it doesn't belong around us in our homes or anything else. I told you, some time ago, our boy was married for the third time, but he lived with this woman for a while. That's when he got lupus. I was on the verge of forbidding my wife to even go in there and do anything for him, though he was dying. I do not take kindly to these things. Nor should the church under any condition. You do what you want. Then when you pay the price, don't come screaming to me. I want to know that God is chastening me to make me deeper and more Christ-like, rather than to try to knock the spots off me because I'm trying to champion some kind of sin. I know women don't agree. My wife doesn't agree too much. She thinks I should be much easier on the kids. Well, she didn't whore around with men, and I didn't whore around with women. We didn't bring our kids up to do it either. Things must be spoken against, brother, sister. Let's understand it. There is a discipline. And that discipline lies in this word. And to receive the word of Almighty God means everything that goes with it. Now, we're not perfect. We're going to have troubles. We're going to have problems. But that does not obviate the fact we must go marching down the road with our problems and trusting God. Now, some of these things we read here are not simply gross manifestations. Because we know little things aren't as bad as big things in the sense that they're not as crucial in the church. But I'm going to tell you something. Two little of ovum and a sperm that you got to put under a high-powered microscope to see it grows into a full-fledged baby, into a full-fledged man or woman that can be a full-fledged sinner, a full-fledged murderer, a full-fledged Stalin, or a Hitler. Or Catherine the Great. Don't ever forget that. That's the way we look at the church here. We must obey the word of Almighty God. So I'm not letting anybody think for one minute, though we say the church, that I don't run high herd on the people. The word of God must do it. We have come to the place where we expect the maturity out of the people that these things should be long dealt with and long forgotten because the church is going on with God. Now, when a discipline must be forced upon the people, in other words, something must be done, the whole church must become involved after due process and take a stand against such conduct, or the church will divide and further cause problems, which when they arise, could just literally murder the church. Now we read in Hebrews, the 12th chapter 11 to 17, how root of bitterness can spring up. We read in Matthew 18. Let's go to Matthew 18. And I'm not like some preachers think this is going to cure everything. Some preachers say what's wrong with the church is Matthew 18, 15 to 35 is not preached. If that is preached, everything is going to be 100%. That's a lie. If that pastor's off the doctrine, this isn't going to do any more good than nothing. It's going to have a church that's a bunch of reprobates, for all I know, all cleaned up and ready for nowhere, except for the lake of fire. Verse 15, if thy brother is trespassed against thee, go and tell his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. If he will not hear thee, then take two or more with you. Then the mouth of truth, witness every word, may be established. If he neglect to hear them, tell of the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be to thee as a heathen, the publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you bind on earth, be bound in heaven. Every loose on earth, be loose in heaven. Now that tells you how it's going to be bound and loose, because you do what the word of God says. Again, I say, if two of you agreed upon earth, or touching anything you shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father in heaven. Now, we often use this here, and I use this in my prayer life and all. But I'm going to tell you something. If the church is not lined up in the disciplines of the word of God, this isn't going to work. Because the very thing that might be loosed upon the people is because they have not done this. You know, gotten things out of the way. Why should we live in a place of dissension? I've said to this church, look at bygones can be bygones. Even throw the stuff under the rug. Put it in the blood and leave it there. Then go on and see what God will do. Try for everything we can for unity, but that's going to depend on you more so than me. Because I've told you many a time, I got a ministry. I just go to ministry. I'll have to be killed before it stops. And maybe, I don't know. The only way to stop is if I stop it myself, I get into some kind of horrible mischief, which by the grace of God, I won't. Where two or three gather together in my name, I'm in the midst. Now, especially then, when people are making a reconciliation, getting things lined up. Then Peter came and said, how often should we, a brother, sin against me? Seven times? The Lord said, until seven times? No, 70 times seven. In other words, there is no end to making reconciliation. There's a constant putting forward of reconciling and bringing the sheep to a place of love. In other words, look, when things are brought up in your home and all, and there's a promise to do better, instantly you can forgive. The promise is broken. It must be attacked again. In other words, the constant bringing up. Not to simply say, we got a problem here, isn't it awful? But to begin to deal and get things right. Maybe a 70 times 7. I'm not saying take an axe and kill anybody, destroy anybody. I'm saying these things must be dealt with. They've got to say, this exists. It cannot exist. See? Or there'll come a time when it'll take over. Now, for as much as he began to reckon. Now it said, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. He began to reckon. One was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 pieces or 10,000 talents. And he didn't have anything. He commanded that his wife be sold, his children pay me mean. And the servant said, well, I sure hate to see that happen. That's a terrible price to pay. Well, he said, will you have patience? Well, and I'll pay all. And the Lord had compassion on that servant. So he forgave him. She said, well, hey, it's all right. Then watch. The same servant went to a fellow servant that owed him 100 pence, laid hands on him, took him by the throat, said, pay me what you owe. His fellow servant then besought him to have patience and I'll pay. But he wouldn't do it. He put him in the prison and made it to make him pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw that, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord was done. Then his Lord said after to him, oh, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired me. Should you not have had compassion on that fellow servant, if he had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth and delivered unto the tormentors that he should pay all was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do to you, my disciples, I'm talking to you. If you from your heart do not forgive. Now he tells you right here, as God has forgiven us, we must forgive everybody. As long as the approach is made to forgiveness. There's no approach made. How are you going to forgive? Now it says, if you don't do it, you then will pay a price. Like agree with thine adversary. The guy that poked you in the nose while you're in the way with him. Let your adversary take you to the judge. Yeah. And the judge throw you in prison. And you pay a price for the guy poking you in the nose. Well, you see, that's a picture of the American criminal court. And the man raped the woman, terribly assaulted her, filthy, dirty dog, and the judge made the woman look like a cheap harlot. And the man like a prince. No, he's not talking about American judgment. And justice, this crud we got here. He's talking about his own justice. When we do not forgive, a bitterness comes in our hearts. And we pay a price. We pay the price. And finally say, God, I wish I'd have settled this a long time ago. And we learn a lesson, not to hold grudges, not to fuss. See, we're looking at a church that can do these things because the Bible says so. And this is what the preaching up here is all about. Not trying to ride herd in you. Just trying to preach the Word of God and see if something will happen. Now, I want to read something here that people of these preachers are saying. Well, the preacher, you know, he's the spiritual husband of the church. And the church is the spiritual wife of the preacher. Okay. Let me read something about the spiritual wife here. I don't like to be sneaky, but I'm going to read it to you. Because it's the truth. And it's very much the truth. It's Colossians the 3rd in 18 to 19 verses. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as is fit in the Lord. In other words, you got a pastor, deal with that pastor, not another pastor. Deal until the questions are answered and the thing is 100% fixed up one way or the other. Or you got no confidence, you got to go and you blow it. You're not necessary to blow it, the whole thing's gone. See? Now watch. Husbands, preachers, love your church and be not bitter against them. I'll tell you something, brother, sister. I had bitterness come into my life two ways. One through the Nicolaitan spirit of hell. Yeah. And the other through church bitterness by a bunch of people. There were no more sheep than nothing, or I don't know sheep. And I will say this church is the closest I've seen to a bunch of sheep. And I'm 73 years old, and I've known the things of God for 55 solid years. And I've seen them, experienced them, some of the greatest men in this world, and the last great man that lived. I have no fear of bitterness in this church whatsoever. Hopefully, by the grace of God, I've come to that place. What happens, what happens. But I still am here to warn you that bitterness could come into this church if you don't follow in the prophet's footsteps and do what he said, and that is to cleave one to another in love. You love each other and mold and melt to each other to become one in this word, the one mindedness of the word, because the true word of God is where the true life is, in which will bring the true love, the true peace, the true everything. Every one of us may not qualify. I may be up here just blasting off, missing it myself. But I'm not deceitful in doing it. You may be sitting here going over your heads. And again, may go straight in your heart, may find an anchorage there where you're going to develop into the fine, wonderful children of God, growing right up into Christ, getting right out of here for the rapture. You're not letting things get between you and people. Better just ignore it. Some people you can talk to and talk and talk and talk. It's never going to make any difference. But it doesn't say you got to keep talking and talking and talking. It just says there's a way to handle things, but it's got to be handled according to the Word of God. That's how it is. And I could read scripture here about you mustn't bring an accusation against an elder except the mouth of the truthy witnesses. You cannot do that. And those, what does it mean to have witness? It means that the three people, two and three people you bring, they got to stand up in the church, and the whole church must judge them to see if they're able to even make one statement against the pastor or the elder or anyone that's giving the authority in the church. Cannot be done. You say, what if the preacher himself invites it? That's his baby. He asked for it. So don't you think a man has a right to come talk to a preacher every time? I said this is an accusation. Not where you come and talk. See? Now, how much time we got left? Okay, we can maybe just finish this one thought. Now, to be sure you understand, what we are talking about is people who refuse to acknowledge guilt when there is guilt, or refuse to investigate a charge that their person or conduct, their persons or conduct is causing some problems. To those who have erred but will take correction, or to those accused but not truly guilty, all must have complete fellowship and confidence restored at the right time. Hope you caught what I was saying there now. Saying the fact that there are those sinners that may never come in. Make believers. Can't do anything with them. You try to run the church the way the Bible said, because you know that there's going to be people in the church at all times who are not believers. They're not sheep. Not saying they don't want to be. Showed they came wanting to be something by sacrificing. Now look, I hope you're not getting hurt, but I've got to face this as a minister, same as you got to face the congregation. We've got to face the Word of God the way it is and do what the Word of God says. I don't care what you are. You could be all 100% unbelievers, and I could be one with you. We're obligated to take this word of God. That's what we're talking about. Now, but there's got to be people that are amongst us. Got to be here. We've got to be majorities by the grace of Almighty God that are true believers. Now, listen to what it says here. Brethren, if a man be overtaken the fall, Galatians 1, Galatians 6, first verse. If a man be overtaken the fall, now brother, you that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself lest thou be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And if a man thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives his own self. But let a man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoiced himself, and not another. Every man shall bear his own burden. Now it tells you right here what we're to do. We're to fulfill the word of God by helping to restore people, not to get rid of them, and not to hurt them. If there's fornication, it must be dealt with. If they say, I'm not going to go, I'm going to do so-and-so. You say, all right then, this church has to let you go because we won't tolerate it. Another man's an extortioner. The church will not tolerate him after there's a due process. In other words, they will not respond to the teaching. And out of the teaching comes the discipline. The minute a person turns around, or the person shows he doesn't want to be that kind of person, it's up to the people, not to harm them, but to lift them up and to help them. The message of the church is the word of God. It is here to save souls, mature souls, and make us real, honest, true, wonderful Christians in the presence of God and our fellow men. Then let us begin to use the word of God that way, knowing when we do it, something is going to happen. We are too insecure at this time, thinking about, will it happen? Yes, it will happen. Not to everybody. Three or four times I've said, you'll not leave this meeting the way you came in. Every time it's been that way, but you don't hear me saying that. Haven't said it for years, I may never say it as long as I live again. Under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, there's a different thing, my brother, my sister. Showing you that everyone counts. Everyone means something. But you've got to mean something yourselves. You've got to realize your sheep, believe your sheep. Want this word of God and walk in the light. And pray one for each other all the time. We know our faults. I don't think anyone doesn't know we're all compassed about with error and faults. And pray for one another. Help one another. That's the discipline we're talking about in the church. Not some preacher trying to throw you down in the mud and tramp all over you. Excommunicate and say, well, you do this or else. Hogwash. Here's what the Word of God says. I don't care what any preacher says. I don't care what I say or you say. So what you and I say doesn't count. It's what God's already said. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we know, Lord, there's none of us perfect. And we're not going to say, well, if we're none perfect, then that's perfectly fine. We're all just in the same lump. We don't believe that, Lord. You said you better be a holy lump. To root out the unbelief, that's the place where we start, O God, to get the true word of God in here. Because we know it's got to be the start, Lord. Because it was the true in the beginning, it's got to be the true at the end. We want the true word, Lord. And then we want everybody, Lord, looking to that true word. And we're not expecting everybody to be the same as everybody else, Lord. The prophet said that Lot might have been a 10-cent piece and Abraham a silver dollar, but never turned down the 10-cent piece. Lord, we're not turning down anybody here. We wouldn't know how to do it because who would we turn down? We might be turning down the very sheep of God and thinking somebody else is a sheep when it wouldn't be that way at all. Everybody needing help, Lord. So, Father, tonight we pray that every one of us we'll open our hearts and minds not only to receive help from you for ourselves, but to receive help for others. Thinking of ourselves. Like you said in your own word, pray for one another that you may be healed. We pray so much for ourselves, Lord, we don't pray for anybody else, and that way we don't get healed. Help us, Lord, to see that. This is what discipline in the Word of God is, and in the church is a Word of God that tells what to do and how to do it, and a people that helps each other to do it. A pastor that stands up and declares the full word of Almighty God. Homes, Lord, that don't want to be abusive to children, but say, listen, like the prophet told his own son, this is a God's house. Son, I love you, but I can't take what you're doing. God doesn't want it. Lord, that's the way I want to be. And I don't believe, Lord, there's anybody in this church that doesn't want to be that way. Just give them the strength to be that way. Not to look for things, to be picky. We know that's a spirit of hell that gets in the church. It doesn't do anybody any good. Lord, give us eyes that are eyes of the dove. We pray that we can look with love upon each other
And we don't say this now, Lord, to simply end a sermon off, make everybody feel good. But, Lord, we're saying it because we want this knowing that this is what the sermon is all about. That restoration is the key, and this is the word of the hour, Lord. For people to be restored, to be helped, to be brought up to Christ. Not to be cast aside. Even as Paul said in that end time, Lord, when that mixed multitude's there and the whole thing should really be going to flames, because we're persuaded better things of you, brother, though we thus speak. And that's where we are at this congregation. If we're persuaded to the very best of this congregation, though thus we speak, Lord. We're persuaded, O God, in our hearts somehow to and believe and hopefully trust that it won't be one person, Lord, miss the rapture and the first resurrection. And Lord, if that can't come all the way, because we know there's a divine election there, may not one person miss the second resurrection. Not one be missing, O God, we're praying. Then, Lord, help the whole church to bend every effort in that direction, that not one be lost. We give thee praise and glory, Lord, for helping us, because we believe you will help us. You will inspire us, O God, to do these things. Be kind, considerate, and just. Lift up the fallen. Bring back the erring one. To bring them to Jesus, the great shepherd of the flock who can save each one of us. May your sweet compassion, Lord, that flows out of this word, and Brother Branham told us that compassion was to do the will of God. May your sweet compassion flow out of this word in our souls, into our spirits, into our minds, suffusing our bodies, until we become compassion personified. Then we know all things are well. Father, we commend ourselves tonight to the supper of the Lord, which we will soon take, and the foot washing, which we feel signifies, without a doubt, the life that was shed. We accept it as shed for us, and by grace receive it into us to live the life. Not only now, but in the future kingdoms of God which are eternal, which we're getting ready for at this moment. The foot washing, Lord, to designate the humility that you showed us. Signifying, Lord, that we absolutely esteem others better than ourselves. Knowing that he would be great, would be servant to all. With the right spirit, of course. So help us this end, Lord, that not one of us be deceived within himself or herself. Or attempt to deceive anybody, but just walk in this.